I was going to say something and then got distracted and I forgot.
Sounds about right.
It might have been plant related. He'll it might not
back.
Have been.
He'll come back mid-episode.
We haven't even gotten on to plants yet.
Hold the rail.
Other than watering in my sink. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Galen.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
Today we are talking about
hags.
What are those?
That is the Haworthia allogasteria group, a.k.a. those hags over there.
Hey, I'm over here.
You're not normally over there.
Assholes. Yes, I'm sitting half the room away from Christine and Mackie because I got a phone.
She can't sit here.
I can't sit at the cool kids table. Fuck you guys. This is the cool kids couch. Somebody I talked to at work got their brother had COVID. So I'm just like preventatively sitting over here in my little 3-layer skull mask.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I picked out the 3-layer one just for you. Also, it's spooky. My little happy skulls.
So hags.
So I'm over here and you're calling me a hag. Thanks a lot. Plants.
They're a group of succulents.
They are native mostly around like South Africa area, Namibia.
Sure.
That region.
They are succulents. They are not cacti, right? Because there's definitely a difference. And I think people,
correct,
especially starting off, don't know the difference.
The part of the world they're from, cacti do not exist.
Oh.
Cacti are strictly a native North American continent plant and South American continent plant. They are not present in anywhere else except Rhipsos spicifera in Africa somewhere.
Oh, that's
but I that one was, place in Africa is where you find cactus?
One place. It's one location because it's bird transported and they think a bird somehow transported it all the way the hell over there.
African or European?
Supposing two swallows carry it together. They'd have to have it on a line.
Well, the bird would have to come from the Americas all the way to Africa.
Yeah.
So, like, that's crazy.
Maybe during like Pangaea time, maybe that's when maybe it happened.
It was after.
Wow.
Otherwise, cacti would be more widespread.
That's fair. Yeah, that makes sense. Anyway, so little succulent dudes.
Yes. These are what I call winter growers. They grow primarily in the winter because their seasons are flip-flopped from ours usually.
Arguably, probably the main reason why they probably die is because people don't realize they grow in the winter.
Exactly.
And they think they're dead during the summer when they're not doing anything.
And the other part of that is these are also what I consider, a lot of these are what I consider low light succulents. Like a lot of Haworthia, if you look at the windows, that's how you can tell if they're textured and cloudy or they're like not clear.
Yeah.
They can handle more light. If they're crystal clear, they cannot handle a ton of light.
You're talking the little,
the rosettes.
Little dudes. Yeah. Cause I've only had one Haworthia in my life and it was the zebra Haworthia.
That is not even a Haworthia anymore. That's Haworthiopsis.
I have a Haworthiopsis.
I had that. Mm-hmm. I loved it, but I learned that it did not like light as much as you would expect a succulent slash cactus to, because I threw it in a south window thinking, oh, it's going to love it. And then I came back. I put it in my work window and I left it alone. And I came back like 2 weeks later and it was like brown, black brown. Like, whoopsies, sunburned to hell.
Haworthia tend to grow semi-underground, and the only thing that's exposed is those tops of the leaves that we call windows.
Sure.
So that's how they do a lot of their, so a lot of their flesh is like blocked from light. And then the ones that get more light usually grow under nursery plants.
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up because I was curious. It's the Rhipsalis botrifera.
Yep.
And it's the only exception. It's found in tropical Africa, Madagascar, and Sri Lanka.
Yep.
Ooh.
And then in the map of Africa, it's like right around the equator, kind of down the right side, a little bit in South Africa, and then Madagascar is where it appears on the map of Africa. As I'm holding up my phone across the room, pointing to the blue.
I'm familiar with that map.
I know, but Christine's not. And neither of our readers.
The map of the world?
Yes, no, that's Pacific Rhipsalis map.
I'm not familiar
at all.
See,
that's what I thought Mackie was talking about. I'm pretty sure Mackie's seen a map of the world. Blah. Anyway, that's cool. Schlumberger. Okay, cool. Back on topic.
So, yeah, let's start. I guess we're talking Haworthia, so we'll go in not alphabetical order. We'll go in hag order. So, Haworthia, rosettes.
Yep.
Aloes.
Aloes are also rosette succulents.
Really?
The ones that grow into trees are no longer aloes. They're allodendrons. Recently.
Aloe mixed with philodendron.
Reclassified, or we just made up a new.
We had to make a new one, allodendron. So it's aloe tree.
Why?
Dendro means tree. Because these things grow like 60 feet tall. I have one outside.
When they throw flower spikes, some of those big guys, yeah.
No, not when they throw flower spikes. They grow like a tree.
They have trunks.
They have trunks.
Are those like some of the ones I saw in Italy?
Probably.
Ooh.
They're very common in Mediterranean areas because they grow really well.
Okay, so what are true aloes then?
True aloes are like your aloe vera, your... And then the other big aloes that are in the hobby right now are the non-species, the hybrids, the fantasy hybrids. Those are the really colorful ones like pink blush.
The star aloes. I had one of those.
Mainly through Altman's Plants is the main producer of those. Fun to play with. But those ones, funny, cool thing is when they're growing really well in the perfect amount of light, getting the water they need, they're dull as hell. No color. Very little color on them. All their color comes from being sun stress or drought stress. That's why I blast mine with light because they can handle a lot before it actually starts to like affect them.
Gotcha.
But it really brings out the colors in them.
And on behalf of the plants, rude.
What?
I said on behalf of the plants, rude.
Remember that sun stress is an adaptation. It's not necessarily damage.
Yeah, because I figured out that if you acclimate them right, the Minnesota sun is not powerful enough for them to actually have any. There's nothing that's going to hurt them.
So what if you put a grow light on them outside?
Well, that's different.
Sounds like a waste of energy.
Do you just like to like poke holes in things people say? Find the exception, the loophole?
I'm just asking. Someone's got to ask.
Yeah.
That would be so ridiculous. Why do you have a grow light on your plant outside? The Minnesota sun is not strong enough to sun stress my aloes.
See, it never occurred to me to ever use a grow light outside. So, like, I had a hard moment. There was a hard moment there trying to wrap my brain around that. And I was like, what? And I was confused. I was like, what?
I need to source an IP-rated grow light so I can put it outside.
Anyways.
So the aloes, there's like, oh my God, there's so many different colors.
There are the fantasies, which are all the colors. And then there's also the world of like straight species. So like that's where you get Allopolyphylla and all that stuff. Like the spiral aloes, the aloe vera. Sure. So like there's tons of little like niche parts of that particular group.
Yeah. I had one. I don't remember what. I tried to like look at a Google picture of what color I had. I think it was some fire or something or another aloe. I bought it because I really liked the flower spikes.
Is it the little green one that gets the orange flowers?
It was green with like orangish red margins. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it had little like, I think yellow and orange flowers.
Okay, I was going to say there's one that called Firecracker, but it's just a plain green aloe.
Oh, doesn't sun stress?
It doesn't sun stress. It does not handle a lot of light. It's a Thomsonii and Discoinsii cross. So it's a small, it stays small.
Yeah.
And does not, like I said, does not handle light very well. It's more closer to aloe vera, I feel, in light requirements.
I'd be willing to try those again. They were fun.
I have some. I'm splitting them up this year.
Maybe. Especially if they're lower light, because I just, with my west windows, I can't give stuff that. They'd
be perfect in west windows, I feel.
Would you move out of your west window?
I can't like grow succulents or cacti that need sun because I don't have any good southern window. Plus, you need to do top light to make those things really be happy. Like moonstones. I did moonstones and just didn't work for me.
Oh, love the moonstones. Yeah, my one succulent is under a grow light for 16 hours a day. You're just great.
Yeah.
But I won't put them anywhere else.
I'm getting to the point with my aloes. I need to start potting up my seedlings and I've got hundreds I need to pick through to figure out what I'm keeping. Of one of my trays that has like 60 on it, there's one that I want to keep, I feel.
Oh. What are you going to do with the rest?
Throw them away. Compost.
I have had many people inquire if I'm going to be getting rid of them and to let them know when I
do. Sure.
Because that's usually when I'll sell like them for like a dollar or two. Be like, take as many as you want and just get rid of them.
Just take them, please.
Oh, I really sucked at growing aloe vera and I never tried again.
That's why I sucked at aloe vera too. I still have my first aloe vera, but it's seen some shit. But that's why I like the fantasy aloes because they're hardier and they burn less easily than those soft, fleshy aloes.
Mm. Yeah, what's the secret to a soft, fleshy aloe?
Shade. Shade and good acclimation and well-draining soil.
So like with philodendron neighbors?
Probably a little more light than that.
Oh, but not ficus levels.
Not ficus levels. Mm.
So it's like all the aloes we'd always see growing in like a kitchen window with no light and no water.
They're
the
just
best
happy.
Way to tell is to look at how it's growing. If it's starting to like reach, you can tell when aloe vera starts to reach because there starts to be space between the leaves. Uh-huh. If there's space, it's not enough light. And I just keep upping it until it gets that nice rosette form.
Nice.
And the nice part about aloes is if you do that process and you figure it out and you end up with a long stem, you can just chop the head off and reroot it really easily.
Off with a head.
But I know the answer is aloe, but what about it like helps like burns and stuff?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think they're still studying it, but they're finding that there's like antibacterial and antifungal and pain relieving agents and things that speed up healing a little bit and lessen scarring.
Yeah.
But also I think something crazy, like less than half of the aloe vera stuff made every year actually has real true aloe vera in it. Cause if you look at how much is produced every year, it's nowhere near the amount that is sold.
Yeah. I've seen, some videos of people taking like giant aloe vera leaves and like scooping it all up and putting it in their hair for like hair masks too.
Yep. That's also how they make the aloe vera drinks.
Oh, sure.
My hair actually hates aloe vera, so I can't put it in my hair.
I've never tried it. So I don't know.
Aloe vera makes my scalp dry, itchy, and flaky, so I'm in the same boat.
Maybe I won't try it.
I mean, you could try it once and then wash it out.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that's aloe vera products that do that. I've never had any reaction to actual real aloe vera that I've done myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always like to keep aloe vera around because of burns. I get burned a lot cooking, so.
Yeah.
It actually helps. It also recently learned that it helps the mosquito bites. It makes the itch go away.
Oh.
Found that out when Noah had sunburn and he was putting it on and he got bit by a mosquito. And he's like, I don't even feel it anymore.
I have mosquito bites all over.
I was going to say, Adrian, he did a Snoop Dogg concert last week and came back covered in
mosquito bites.
Mosquito bites.
From Snoop Dogg?
To that.
Yeah. At Grand Casino.
Yep. I heard it was a lit show.
What?
Dun, dun,
not surprised.
Terrible puns over here, everybody.
Okay, and then what's our last one?
Gasteria, the last of the group. They grow similarly to aloes, only instead of the rose, it's still a rosette. They just kind of look like they're flopping like tongues.
They totally look like tongues.
Yeah. They're fun. I'm just now getting into them, and my collection is just starting with my seedlings.
I know this one.
I think the most famous Gasteria cultivar is called Little Warty, commonly sold at Lowe's and Home Depot.
Little Warty.
Yes. Yeah, all of these are really easy to find at a big box store. These are kind of like starter plant 101.
And the reason they put these in a group is a lot of them will actively hybridize with each other. So you end up with Alworthia, Gastra Aloes, and oh God, there are so many different names. But yeah, sometimes you get ones that you think are like Gasteria. There's one like Atomic something. Mm. Black Gem. That's a Gastra Aloe, but it looks like an aloe.
Do Gasteria need the same amount of light as the hard aloe and Horthia?
They can probably handle as much as the Fantasy Aloe, so like that higher light. They are very vocal with their stress, and it takes a lot to get them to start stressing. And they will adjust to full Minnesota sun over the summer, because by the end of the summer, they're back to being green and not stress colored.
Mm. Are they easy, fast growers, or are they slow growers?
I think they're about as fast as Haworthia.
Which is slow.
Not really.
Oh, should I get my Haworthia full sun?
No.
No.
Depending on, well, it kind of, no, not yours. Yours are,
I'll keep them in the greenhouse then.
Yeah, but yours are growing quite fast for what they are. Every time I've seen them, they've
Well, I'm glad
bigger.
You're noticing that they're growing, because I'm just like, they look the same every time.
Yeah. I mean, yours pushed out like at least 4 new leaves this year, and that's impressive to me.
Doing a dual might actually be putting on a new leaf this time.
I know. I put mine outside and the bud is swelling on mine for another leaf. I'm like, yes. Nice.
They only give you 2 leaves a year, man.
Usually it's 1.
Oh, I get 2.
Overachiever.
For propagating these guys, do they do pups, or how do they?
Okay, so they do pup pretty actively. The aloes, they're stem propagated, so like same as you would like an echeberry. You can like top, you can just cut the head off and reroot it. You can do the same thing with Haworthia. People use what's called the floss method. They'll loop floss in there and just garrote it.
Decapitate them.
Yeah. Same thing. I don't really know about Gasteria. I know they pup, and that's the only way I've seen it done. And the other way is by seed for all of these things.
Yeah.
The other cool thing is if you have time and you have a really nice Haworthia cultivar, you can also do a leaf pulling. And if it's got any of the the growth point flesh on the end of it, so it has to be like a good piece that has maybe not necessarily a little bit of stem, but like as close to the stem as you can get.
Yeah.
It will pup from that leaf.
Oh, cool.
And you can also take root cuttings, and they will send up new heads
from root.
What do you mean root cutting?
They have a tap. They have like big fleshy taproots. Some people have had great success cutting like a long piece of root off, and they'll just bury it and it'll just grow a new head.
Wow.
And then the plant with the root attached keeps doing its thing.
Yeah.
Weird. That's cool.
So Haworthia are beasts when it comes to propagation. The only thing about leaf pullings is I think the shortest leaf pulling I've ever done was a year and a half before I saw growth.
Oh, wow.
So it takes a year and a half.
Yeah,
you're playing the waiting game on these guys.
Yeah. And it was just sealed in a little deli container for a year and it worked. Didn't give me, because it was a variegated one, but I didn't get any variegated ones from it because they're always picky.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot I had a variegated Haworthia too.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Do you currently have it?
No, not anymore. Again, I put it in the south window and found out quickly that they didn't like that.
I have several variegated Haworthia. There are different kinds of variegation on that are really cool.
Yeah, I just found one at, again, Home Depot. I was just in there and saw it and I was like, mine. And yeah, it was a cute little guy. It didn't keep the variegation, so only like the two leaves at it, but it was a fun little guy.
Are you going to grow any of the blue ones for me?
They're not. I've explained this to you. They're not blue. But yes, I have some going.
Ones. Yeah.
But I was going to say the reason I like love this group, like this group is what I play with the most.
Right.
I think the reason I really like these is because the propagation and the like pollinating and all that stuff, doing the seed starting, it's all so easy.
Yeah.
Like the only tricky part of it is with Haworthia. I like to do mine in the winter. Because I'll have the heat mat on it during the day, and their trigger to germinate is a drop in temperature at night. So when my lights go off, I also have it so the heating pad shut off, and they experience that drop in temperature, and it has really increased my germination doing that.
Is it similar to get them to flower that way too?
I've never noticed any pattern in flowering.
They just go.
They just go. When they're ready, they go. And if they're not producing pups, they're flowering.
Cool. And they self-pollinate? Did you color that already?
No, Haworthia, no, they don't usually self-pollinate from my understanding. They don't like to pollinate with themselves.
Okay.
They have to do outcrosses.
Gotcha.
But again, they hybridize so easily that can... Word of warning, if you're keeping your plants outside and you're doing your breeding, hummingbirds are your enemy. They will mess your plants up because they feed from the aloe flowers and they also pollinate them because that's what their native pollinators are hummingbirds.
Sure.
Frustrating, but also kind of cool because some of my best crosses have come from hummingbirds.
Yeah, that makes sense because their leaf shape is very much something hummingbirds would like.
The red is a hummingbird flag, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then as far as like substrate for these things go, I would say I use a 50-50 mix, but I'm kind of trying to use more core in them lately. So I'm moving to like 40 and 30% pumice, like lessening it. Mm-hmm. The reason I use core is the thought is that whenever peat breaks down, it releases something that Haworthia roots don't like. Every time I've ever had Haworthias in peat, I've rotted them, even whenever I've had extreme drainage. So switching to coco core and pumice, I have not had those issues.
Do you do the taco test with them for watering? Yeah. Or okay, I didn't know if that's like it's too long if you wait that long.
No, I've let mine, there are times like whenever they pup that the roots aren't developed yet. So the pup's not getting basically any water and they will shrivel up really small as they extend their root down. And as soon as that root hits the soil, they plump right back up.
Gotcha.
So you can actually take Haworthia and aloes really far.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone aloes so far as to have their leaves curling up like tubes. Same thing with my Gasteria. I've taken them that far and they've bounced back perfectly. They're bouncing back right now.
And how long did you leave those unpotted Haworthia on your desk for and they were fine?
Oh, yeah.
My record is 6 months.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Some days I'm like, you know, I want a collection that I could just like leave for a month and not have to worry, period, about them.
Succulents.
I know, but I can't give them the light.
My collection got no water from January to like May.
I know.
Things looked rough, but I didn't lose hardly anything.
Right.
Even the seedling that I thought I lost, I just needed water.
Yeah. So there's that. Or I don't know. I've read so many bad things about wicking on Hoyas, but I might just try it because
it's all about drainage. If you just increase that drainage, that helps Hoyas a lot.
Yeah.
So you could go as high as like 60 or 70% per light if you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever aeration you're using.
Are you wicking your Hoyas in LECA?
Not yet. Eve posted something about being able to go like 60 days without watering her Hoyas. And I'm like, oh man, I wish that I could do that.
My giant polyneuro is in a 6-inch net pot that fits in a cash flow that's like 2 inches longer. And so I'll fill it up like this much. I'm showing you 3 inches.
Yeah.
and then it sits in the reservoir and it has a nylon webbing.
Yep.
It dips down and set it and forget it, baby.
Ugh. The only downside I found with wicking anything is the roots eventually find that wick and go right to the reservoir.
Yeah.
So it makes repotting frustrating sometimes. But also, if you're okay with that, I don't really see the issue in that.
I mean, if Hoya are cool, is hanging out in the same pot for a long time.
Sure are.
It's future use problem.
Mm-hmm. Or you just cut their roots.
Yep.
I feel as long as most of the roots are getting air, they should be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wicked some weird things before.
Come look at my polyneura next time.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Did I tell you my polyneura and my roots just bouncing back? I thought it was going to die and it was dropping leaves and it's green again now.
Nice.
All I had to do was refill the water.
Ooh, I know who my plant of the week is going to be.
Is it going to be a polyneura?
Nope.
Oh.
So it's somebody who lives close to the polyneura.
Gotcha.
Or at least on the same level of the house. Anyway.
Fertilizer for these guys?
Fertilizer? They don't like a lot.
Okay.
Low nitrogen. I mean, maybe once a year I'll whip out my garden water thing that me and Kaylin use.
Yeah.
And I'll put like 2 tablespoons of fertilizer in it and I'll just spray them down. Yeah, the one that goes
on the garden. Oh, the garden waterer. I was like, thought you were talking about water from the garden. And I was like, what? I don't have special garden water.
But yeah, other than that, I mostly just give them like RO water or rain, or whenever they're outside, they just get rainwater.
Yeah.
And I water them all my stuff every day out when they're outside.
Yeah.
So they're, like I said, very low on the nutrient scale. They like it not very nutritious.
Yeah. I mean, these are plants that have grown to adapt to the harshest of conditions.
So. Yeah. That's why they do so well with me.
They very much like to just be left alone.
Leave me alone.
So dormancy time, what do you have to, I guess, be careful of? What to...
Depends on if they're even going dormant.
Okay.
I don't have much experience with a lot of that. Mine, if they do go dormant, it's due to lack of water. Mm. And they definitely need water at times. And they kind of tell you that. So you can see the leaves start to wrinkle and kind of look less shiny.
Sure.
That's... I would water it. I mean, if you have it in a pure inorganic soil like Kaylin, you have that one that you have to water basically every week to keep it looking nice. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just they do need water when they're dormant. It's just usually not much. And usually whenever people would expect them to be like winter growers, when they expect them to not be growing and dormant mm-hmm. is when they should be getting the most water. Mm-hmm. If they've got adequate light.
Right.
And just to remind you all, the special mix that Mackie really likes for my Haworthia, it's Bonsai Jack's succulent mix.
Great mix. I love it.
It's lots of rocks and some little tiny shreds of bark that the water drains right through it. And then the bark holds on to just a little bit of moisture.
Is that the one you're having a hard time finding?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's the espoma that you're having a hard time finding.
Yeah, that's potting soil.
Yeah.
This is little rocks.
Yeah.
And they come with cool chapstick.
They come with chapsticks.
Yeah, I love those
chapsticks. They come with a metal chapstick.
Oh, chopsticks.
While we're...
Chapstick.
Why are we getting chapstick? No, we're getting metal
for your
chapstick.
Dry-ass plants.
So while we're on the topic of like soil and watering for these things, I just feel the need to point this out after many conversations with people who can't / don't want to learn.
Me.
When it comes to watering succulents, it is not how much water you're giving them that's going to cause rot. It's how long is the water sticking around. I know we've discussed this before, but please do not tell people it needs to dry all the way out. If your soil needs to dry all the way out so you don't rot your plants, the soil is not a good mix and it needs more aeration.
And you're probably not giving your plant enough light.
That too. That's the first thing you should do. That's the one thing I do differently with my Haworthia aloes and guest series is I adjust the soil mix before I start dealing with the light.
Yeah.
Because you can't get a good handle on the light if you have no roots.
Yeah. These plants in their natural habitats, these desert-like conditions, I mean, there's no such thing as like a shower of rain. It is downpours. When the rain comes, it's downpouring on them.
Not to mention some of these also are in coastal fog areas. So they get a morning fog.
Sure.
Ooh, I can't replicate that at home, though.
Yeah.
No, with that, you just do weekly
watering.
Like
humidifier.
My morning fog.
I just... remember something I was going to talk about in the pesticide episode. I forgot. It's fine.
Just say it now and then cut and paste.
There was a video. Jay sent me forever ago a video of someone putting pesticides in their humidifier.
Oh my God.
Awful. Don't aerosolize that shit. You're going to die of lung cancer.
Oh man.
Oh my God. You should see some of the stuff some of the things this stuff can do to your lungs.
Yeah. And then people will put off they're like, I'm going to leave my house for the weekend and set off a fogger. And just like leave.
Bug bombing, that's actually really common. But that's more for like, I wouldn't do that in like a residential thing. I would only bother with that in like industrial greenhouses. Yeah. And even then, we didn't use bug bombs. We used fog machines and disco lights.
Making it a party.
For the bugs.
But that was the last episode. So this one. Where was I going with this?
Yes, what were we talking about?
Oh, water. Yes. So, yeah, like you said, it doesn't have to, it's about...
how long it sticks around, not how much they're getting. Because like I said, my stuff, I'm watering every day. Every morning I go out with the hose and I drench them.
Yeah.
Even if they're still wet or if we, even if we've just had rain, I mean, still get in the habit.
You see videos of people like just dunking them in bowls of water and like that's very much what they...
I love that group of people. Like like Hunter at Cactus Quest, he posts videos of all the time. He's like, I'm going to water my cacti. And you just... throws them in a tub of water and just lets them drown for a while.
Yep.
Is there any plant that we would actually water with just like a cup of water?
Orchids. Why on earth? Ice cubes.
Christine, don't say that on this podcast.
I think I'm going to have to resign. You should never measure. I mean, keep track of how much water you're using. Yes. But like, don't measure your water like that. That's just.
And don't limit it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It should run all the way through.
Yep.
Again, if any mix is, if you're watering heavily and you're like, if you're afraid of using too much water because it causes rot, your mix ain't right. This goes for all plants.
And you're not getting light. We can, and, maybe we should do just a water episode at some point.
Yeah.
Watering. Drench that bitch at the end. We'll have it be like a 5-minute episode.
Yeah.
It'd be 1 minute of us being like, water the fuck out of it. Walk away, plant of the week.
Yep.
Mic drop.
So how many horwithia do you have?
Hold on. So the answer to that is no.
No what?
No plant gets water with just one cup.
No.
Yes?
Yeah, I agree with you. No.
Yes,
no
plant the answer is no.
Yes, the answer is no. Yeah, no. How are your Midwesterners do it?
Yeah, no. Like that.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so if that confused you, listeners, there is no plant that you should be watering with just one cup of water, period.
If we're going that extreme, don't just spray down plants. People that just will like spray plants.
Oh yeah, misting doesn't do shit. Don't do it.
But there's people that do that to water their plants.
If it's an epiphyte, sure.
I mean, there are cases where, again, that's just a tool. You got to use it properly. But also, there are way more efficient and faster ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, back to horwithia.
Okay.
Well, back to our previously scheduled programming.
How many hundreds do you have?
Shut up.
Count when they're all in one pot.
It doesn't count. Do seedlings count? Oh shit, no. I just repotted them all separately. I have hundreds of horwithias, aloes, and gasterias.
How they can get pretty big.
Some of them can, but like we're talking, like I think my swordfish aloe will probably get, if I keep up potting it, it can get 2 to 3 feet tall.
But how many years are we talking at that point?
Probably less than a decade, but around that.
Okay.
Like it takes a while to get them that big, but also it's they're if the more you constrict the roots, the less they're more likely to pup at that point, I feel. Because once they get tight in their pot, that's when I notice that the babies start to appear.
I have 2 horwithia, 1 horwithiopsis, and no gasteria. And no aloe.
Yeah. I have none anymore. I want to try them again.
Well, let me tell you about my seedlings I'm gonna be potting up soon.
Right, yeah, go that's shopping in Mackie's seed room.
Yeah, right.
As I say, that's the reason I have so many is I have a breeding collection that I produce my own seeds, crosses, and hybrids with just for fun.
Yeah. You sound so fancy.
It's fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
It's me and Kaylin's what we do. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
You get to see what traits carry through, what's dominant, co-dominant. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Fun to play with.
And
super easy. Everybody should be playing with this stuff.
Yeah, everybody. Go play with your stuff.
Wow, Kaylin. That's almost as bad as my previous comment I made.
I'm just happy that there was enough like silence on the other side of it that I can easily cut that.
Damn it. You should have seen Christine, your body language. You kind of just slumped and like tipped your head. And then Mackie also like did a disproving look. And so it was great.
It was more of just an acknowledgement that you just said that.
I know I did. Kick me off the podcast. I dare you. I made it 1 year. Guys, you'll have a new host next week. I don't know who it is. They probably don't know either. You'll still record at my house, though. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Never replace Kaylin. We just add a 4th host now.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, be in the background lurking, saying inappropriate things at the worst times.
So nothing will change.
Oh! Are you saying I'm in the background?
No, I'm saying when you make those comments, you pull back and say it like this.
Oh, you mean it gets quieter?
Yep.
Ooh. Help us.
Anything else about about those hags we want to talk about?
Nah, not okay. really.
You gonna make any more comments about me being the hag? Can we do plant of the week?
We can. We can cut this a little shorter.
I mean, what are we going to talk about? Off-topic things?
Yeah.
My plant of the week. My plant of the week is my marble queen pothos in my sea monster bathroom.
Ooh.
I grew him up a wall. There's a skylight. There's the only window in this bathroom is a skylight. And I measured and I was like, okay, we get at least 100-foot candles at the counter. We're going to try growing this pothos. And so we have grown the pothos up the wall, across the ceiling. And now he's got two vines who are just put their heads into the skylight. And they're like, holy shit, there's light up here. And it's like 800-foot candles. So it's going to be good light and they're going to be excited and you're gonna fuck up my skylight, so let's do it, buddy.
Yeah. The race has begun.
Yeah, they're definitely attached to the wall. I would definitely have to repaint when the time comes, but it's cool. So if you ever come over to my bathroom, come over to my house, go use the bathroom upstairs.
How'd you get it to attach?
I mean, I use the command strips for Christmas lights.
Sure,
the little clippies, and then he also just attaches himself to the wall where he pleases.
I wanted to do that with one. I can't remember what pothos, but I was going to do that too.
Yeah.
I didn't stick with it long enough to make it a thing.
Yeah. I have two marble queens that are attached to walls.
Are the leaves doing cool things?
Yeah. They're getting bigger. Nice. But like I said, this bad boy is not getting very much light at all. So like, sure. It's kind of also like my low light experiment.
Yeah.
I will say when we were watering your plants.
What?
When we were watering your plants while you were in Italy, I was impressed by the one in the bathroom. Like for the light it gets.
For what it gets, it is
looking nice.
Yeah.
Well, and like it's not getting, you know, it's not getting medium light. It's not getting bright light. Except for like the 30 minutes a day, the direct sun touches it at the bottom of the plant. But the leaves are getting bigger and I don't have like terrible like internodal spacing on it either. It seems kind of regular for a pothos. And
nice. Yeah. Looks better than most office pothos.
Thank you.
Well, bar's pretty low for office pothos, let's be honest here. I had, when I was back working at the school, the lady in the front office, she had to get a new pothos every year and she couldn't figure out what's going on. And I was like, you're not.
Yeah. She couldn't figure out what's going
every
on.
Every office that Noah has worked in, there's always been a pothos that just appears.
Yep.
And he just spreads it across the room. And every now and then he gets bored and he'll propagate it. And that's just, he just takes it over.
Yeah.
That's why he's all about that stuff.
Yeah.
That's cute. And he has his own pothos here, right?
Yep. That's what it tells him what to do with his collection. It wilts.
Oh, yeah.
Everything time to water. Gets water. Yeah. It starts to get a little brown. Everything gets moved back.
Kind of like those sentinel plants.
Indicator pothos. You know how people will put pothos and then like try and trail them across their house?
Yeah.
But they're always getting further and further away from a window.
Yep.
So the leaves are always getting smaller and smaller and the internodal spacing is getting longer and longer. So, you know, my bedroom marble queen pothos, that one is growing up a wall, but like I'm concentrating the leaves where the light is, which is the first 3 feet of the wall next to its south facing window.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because you can see on the vines closer to the window how much bigger the leaves are than the ones that are 3 feet away from the window. And like nobody is crawling across the wall. I'm concentrating it in that first 3 feet and they're like going up and down and up and down in that very like small area, so they're like nobody's more than 4 feet away from the window. But like when people will do it in their house, they'll put the they'll like crawl across the room or whatever. Mine's not doing that, but it's interesting because you can see at just like 3 to 4 feet away from the window how much smaller the leaves are, and like I can point it out to you and be like, this is why you shouldn't let your vine get any further away.
Yeah,
I would say if you're trying to grow it across your room, I would put the plant as far away in the darkest spot possible and let it grow towards the light.
Yeah. Mm.
Hack the system. Play with the variables.
Min-max that shit. My plan to the week.
Thank you.
Is going to be my outer variegated Polynera, since we've been talking about Polynera so much. Outer variegated Polynera. Hoya.
My plan to the week. Are we ready? or do we need a conversation about yours too?
I feel like you're making fun of me.
Not intentionally.
The reason why. Mostly because, okay, so I got it. You see a lot of times with the Albo outer variegated Polyneras that they only have like just a barely white, margin on the leaf. This one, when I got it as a cutting and like the first leaf it put out was like, I'm going to be like mostly white. So it like immediately started doing nice things for me. So that's why I like it so much. It's very pretty.
How big is it?
It's only got like, I got it as cuttings. I haven't had it very long. So it's got four sets of leaves. No.
Four nodes, four or five nodes.
Not even.
But it's only one cutting.
Maybe two or three. It was two cuttings.
So two growth points?
Yeah.
Four total?
Something like that.
Or four each?
I don't remember. Oh.
Speaking of Hoya, I put my Husqvarna Variegata in my cabinet, and guess what?
How's it going?
Guess what?
Is it going well?
Well, so far, it looks like it's appearing to go well.
Nice. Good.
I have a new little pink string poking out, and I was like, that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to do good things. You're going to regret putting 15 nodes in a pot.
I'm not going to regret it.
It's like your 60-node polyneura.
64-node. I didn't count. The polyneura definitely had a bunch of die-off from that, sure. But it's still big.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do with my linearis. I'd chop it up and just throw the nodes in a pot. It
looked Don't talk to me about linearis.
So easy.
I'm mad. Mine
didn't do well.
I was going to like make a fuller pot, and then did it grow? It propagated. I sold it to somebody. Mm. But like,
nice.
It just never took off. And I was like, bro.
Yeah, that's why I always boost the humidity until it starts growing, and then I acclimate it down. So that way the growth has already started, so I know it can do what I want it to do.
Do you still have linearis?
No.
All right.
But I'm going to get my hands on it again eventually. I'll let you know when.
Yeah. I'm not in the mood to try that train again, but down the road, I love that plant.
Mm. I'm hoping to get one this summer and grow it up for a while, so I might have some for you later.
All right. What's your plant of the week, Mackie?
My Boea volubilis. It's the climbing sea onion. It has has these like tentacles. Like it grows, it's a caducifer and it looks like an onion, and it grows a vine out the top. And right now it's got tiny little vines that look like tendrils just bursting out the side because it had decided that after like 8 or 9 years, it was finally going to pup.
Yay. Now you have babies.
Yep. I'll have two babies, hopefully. I mean, I could probably get it faster. I just don't want to put the work in right now.
Sure.
Spiny tendrils make me think of flying squid alocasia.
How'd this that go for you?
Honestly,
preventatively for spider mites because you couldn't tell because it's a weird looking plant. And right. I killed it eventually.
This Boea is my most requested can you sell that to me plant.
Oh.
Where it'll be in the background of a picture and people are like, what's that grassy thing in the back and can I get a cutting? And I'm like, no, it's
That's
a
not
bulb.
How it works. Yeah.
This one doesn't propagate that way. But it's and then it's after that, it's usually, well, can you sell me that? And it's like, no. I've only ever.
Don't get me started.
I've only ever given away one Boea. And that was to you, Jen. Not Jen Plants, not Jen Jen. Oh. On Instagram because she was a on the ledge listener and we both live here in Minnesota.
Nice.
Jen Plants, not Jen Jen, but Jen Jen is into plants. So like, what?
That's
I know. It's her Instagram name is Jen Plants too. She was my very first plant swap partner.
Mm.
First person I ever swapped with.
Nice.
And yeah. Jen has some of my seeds for my chlorophytum.
Yes, she's still growing them too.
Good.
They look really nice.
Good.
They're colored up now.
Send me a picture.
I will ask her for one.
It's like a huge pet peeve of mine where like if I'm talking to someone and like selling a plant, one or the other, I'm selling someone a plant and they'll be like, hey, in the background of that picture, do you want to sell me that one? I'm like, no. Or when they come to pick stuff up, they'll see something in the window and be like, how much are you selling that for? I'm like, I'm not.
I have very firm boundaries with that. Yeah. If they ask, what is that plant? I will happily tell them.
Yeah.
But the second it comes into, I want to acquire that for me, it's. Okay, you're not going to get that plant, and now you're no longer going to get the plant you thought you were buying from me.
Right.
I just don't do that. Well, That's rude.
I was meeting someone that was buying the Florida Beauty Babies from me. They were like, I'll buy all of them. Like, cool, sweet, love it. When we were meeting, they were like, do you have other things available right now? And I was like, not really, you know, whatever. Is there anything you're looking for? And they're like, well, your profile picture. And that's my elbow.
I will say,
I was like, I'm not selling you my elbow.
If you're already buying something from someone and they ask, do you have anything else or are you selling anything else? I find that to be a fair question.
Sure.
And if you are buying something from someone and you're like, see something that maybe they're not selling, it's a fine line with a lot of people. It's either okay or not. But like, if you feel comfortable with the person, I'm okay with like, hey, are you planning on propagating that soon? Yeah. Like that's more of an appropriate than can I buy a piece? Like
that's, yeah. And I guess this was.
It's a gentle subject.
This was the other extreme, though, because, like, we were at the meetup point. It wasn't, like, through the buying process. It was, I'm now handing you off the plant. They were like, I want the thing in your profile picture. I'm like, no, you're not getting it.
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
But I also have Tammy, if you're listening. She was one of my favorite and best customers. Like, she'd be like, oh, I want to buy that Hoya from you. What else you got right now? Like, that kind of stuff.
I have a couple
of
people.
Do you have anything cool for me? Like, yeah.
I have a couple of people like Catherine. She's always like, okay, that one pulls me in. You got anything else?
Yeah. So. That was a tangent, but don't be like that. People don't.
Yeah. Be polite, be nice. And if it would offend you, don't do it.
And if the person was like, oh, these are the only plants I have for sale right now. Don't be disappointed if you don't like them.
Right?
That's not their fault. That's a you problem. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I literally have 7 options and you don't like any of them. It's not my fault. Go away.
What do you mean you're not constantly propagating all of your stuff all of the time?
What are you talking about? That was me. I don't have room for that. And guess what? People don't buy plants like they used to. So I'm not going to sit on a bunch of stuff anymore.
Yeah. I'm always down to sell cuttings, but no, I don't always have just like plants going.
It's nice with like Hoyas because you could just take cuttings pretty much whenever you want. Yep. As opposed to like, here's my beautiful alba, which is a 5-foot tall vine, and I'm not going to cut that up for you because that's not on the agenda.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Cool. But with that,
don't be a dick.
Thanks again, everybody. Join the Discord. Check us out on Instagram.
All the things. Ooh, you know what you should do? If you are enjoying the podcast and you like listening to us and you look forward to our weekly episodes, leave us a review.
Yeah.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a review. Give us some nice comments. We recently got our first 1-star review.
Our first and only.
So
I wonder where that could have come from. We'd
like to
boost
that up to like a 4.8 instead of like a 4.1. So if you like us, do us a solid, leave us a review. If you really like us, hint, hint, looking at you, besties, leave multiple reviews on multiple platforms. Anyway, that's fun. You tuned into our plant tea episode and you can probably guess who left us that 1-star review. If you've been active in the Discord, I bet you know her first name too. Wee!
Stay rough, everybody.
Stay rough.
Right, thanks. That's our slogan. That's what we do over here. We're going to stay rough and we're not going to take no shit.
Kayla's starting to fight our listeners again.
And redirecting the topic's not working.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah, you guys are trying to stop the podcast. And I'm just like, let's go!